time, I would like to introduce my three main witnesses.
Request granted. Proceed with the testimony.
All right, we shall proceed. Coming to you live from the iHeart Studios in West Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome to Lifestyles and the Law Today. This show is for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. Good day to you. I'm Alan Mason, your host and witness number one, along with witness number two, our show producer, Rick Snyder. And you, my good friend, are the witness we count on more and more. This is the place where the coolest legal minds gather for the latest legal news and time-saving tips, along with the latest community event information. Our mission is educating those in need of legal representation with a solid base of top legal minds and law scholars. And that reflects well upon our super guest lineup. All are experts in their particular field. You know, Rick, we have covered a lot of legal ground on Lifestyles and the Law today. And we would like to thank all of our great guests for making the show so well-rounded. Rounded. Is that word okay?
Rounded.
Yeah, it's better than square.
I guess.
Okay. So better to know who to call if an injury crosses your path. Let's face it, you only need legal representation after you're injured. And if you are injured, the first priority at the Robes Law Group is getting you well and putting your life back in order. That's how the legal compass works at the Robes Law Group. If you have been injured, make contact with them by dialing the mothership at 561-570-5700 with offices in Delray Beach, Florida, and throughout West Palm Beach. Or you may look at their website, robeslawgroup.com. Coming up on today's show, Thomas A. Robes is with us to discuss what you need to know about personal injury. He knows more about what to do at the scene of an accident than Gil Grissom. You may ask, who's Gil Grissom?
I was just going to do that.
Ask.
Who's Gil Grissom?
No, he's the lead investigator on CSI Miami,
uh-huh.
I think. Okay. Then Rick Snyder's going to check in with all the happy Robes client that's coming right up. And in our Hammer the Scammer segment today, we'll take a look at how ghost tax returns can get you into their scam. That's coming up right after the news. And then Aladoxophobia in 35 minutes. We'll share with everyone what everyone has. Aladoxophobia. Don't be afraid to look that up. That's just my opinion, though. Hey, just a friendly reminder, tell a friend about the show. If you invite them to listen, you may double up your order by telling two or more friends. And as always, free shipping on the show here every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on AM 1290 WJNO. But right now, let's take a look at South Florida's latest legal headlines brought to you by the Robes Law Group, your community-approved legal brain trust. Here with today's headlines is our consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Rick Snyder.
Thank you, as always, Alan. We do have some interesting news today. For example, they found the boyfriend in the couch. And we'll have to take a close look at that out in Kansas. And if you're driving through Shelburne County, Minnesota, and experiencing flat tires, we can tell you why. 12,000 sheetrock screws is the real answer.
That's the answer?
Yes, I'll give you all the details on that in about 20 minutes.
Okay. Well, when we return, Thomas A. Robes is with us. You have a question about personal injury claims? We are live and the phone lines are open. 561-570-5700. Don't go back. We'll be right away. Personal injury attorneys regularly inundate the airwaves with money-making rants, guaranteeing their clients huge settlements. Call now is their air horn. We make money only if you do is tattooed on their foreheads. Had enough? The Robes Law Group offers sound legal guidance and direction. They work hard for you because it's the right thing to do. What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com. All right, welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, here to introduce a few happy people who are satisfied Robes clients from the Robes Law Group. Rick, do you have a list of happy people?
I have a big, long list. We have time for a couple right here. Gara Popowitz Malik, she reviewed Robes Law Group and says, extremely honest law firm with amazing team, would recommend to anyone else. They are great. Thank you for everything, Robes, you have done for me and my family. And Sarah Beecham says, very impressed with Thomas Robes. As a matter of fact, so are we. He's a guest in the studio today live.
Ooh.
And everyone at Robes Law. My case was handled perfectly. Mr. Robes was always more than happy to answer any and all of my questions. He's so personable that I feel went way above and beyond my expectations. In one of our conversations, I mentioned that my father had just passed away, and shortly after I received something in the mail saying that he had a tree named for my dad. That really meant a lot to me. Hopefully, I won't need Mr. Robes' services again. But if I need them, I know who to call. I'll be back. Thank you, Mr. Robes.
And where do you get all this information from there, buddy?
On the Facebook page of Robes Law Group. Check it out.
That would be facebook.com/...
Robes.
Law.
Group.
There you go. All right. Just check and make sure you know that.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
All right, our first super guest was born and raised in Florida, earned a bachelor's degree from the University of Florida, and his Juris Doctorate degree from the Florida State University. Thomas A. Robes is a member of the Florida Bar, the Southern Trial Lawyers Association, the National Trial, we'll see if we can't get through all this, there's about 100 of them here, the National Trial Lawyers, a top 40 under 40, Palm Beach County Justice Association, the Florida Justice Association, the Million Dollar Advocates Forum. Whew. Boy, I'll tell you, Thomas, you go to a lot of bars.
Guilty as charged. Gentlemen, great to see you. How have you all been?
It's great. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you might want to move that microphone a little closer there.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. See, we get away with all kinds of stuff here because we're live.
I've just been distracted. You know, I've heard there's a football game tomorrow. There's lots of fun stuff going on here in South Florida this week.
Yeah, but nothing more interesting than what we have going right here, buddy.
That is true.
Let's get down to the basics. Everyone knows that when you're in a car accident, the first thing you check for is your neck. The second thing you check for is everybody okay at the scene, and I guess you call the cops. And then what would be next? Call Robes Law Group?
The most important thing, obviously, is to make sure that you and anybody that's in your vehicle is safe.
Right.
I mean, that's the most important thing. And then, obviously, other people who are involved in the motor vehicle crash, safety is the number one thing. Cars can be fixed. Cars can be replaced. People cannot be replaced. So safety is the paramount thing that needs to be addressed at the scene of a crash.
I know this is kind of related, but unrelated. There's an oxymoron. The good Samaritan law. If you're at an accident and you see somebody that's pretty banged up and you try and pull them out of the car or something like that, are you going to hurt them or is that legal or how does that work?
Well, you know, there's a standard of care that is associated with the quote-unquote Good Samaritan laws. And really where you see this often is when somebody who has medical training comes to the scene of the crash and then wondering whether or not they decide to render aid at the scene of the crash. So there is a whole body of law that's associated with that. And so, you know, obviously, just like with anything else, you want to use good judgment to do what is necessary to make sure that people are safe.
Well, we see a lot of horrific things on the news. I think just the other night I saw a car was on fire and someone stopped and opened, smashed the window out and dragged the guy out of the car. Any liability there for the person that's doing that?
Well, like I said before, it has to deal with, you know, whether or not they did something that was outside of the normal reaction in that type of situation. I mean, those things are usually fact specific and fact dependent.
Right.
But I think most decent people will stop and try and render aid or at a minimum call 911, do what they can do to help in that type of situation.
Yep. All right. Well, just checking. You know, sometimes you never know when you're going to be in an accident. We've said it a million times on this show. Actually, we've said it 10 million times, but Rick, I've told you 100 million times, stop exaggerating. But anyway, yeah, we say it all the time. You don't know when an accident's going to happen. I looked at my appointment book. I don't see anything in there. They just happen. And knowing what to do has to help.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's why our app is very helpful. If you go to our app, it gives you some ideas and of what to do when you're at the scene of the crash. But I can't tell you how many times I've had to sit with a prospective new client and I said, well, tell me what happened. And they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting at a stoplight and then I got hit, or I was driving through the intersection and I thought I had the right of way, and next thing you know, I'm spun around three times and I'm off the roadway. You know, very often it's just caught by surprise. Just exactly like you said, nobody's sitting there saying, okay, in the next 30 seconds, I'm about to get hit by a car. Let me remember everything.
Exactly.
But I will tell you, you know, technology is very helpful. You know, very often now people have dash cams in their cars. That's helpful. And also, which is, you know, from time to time, you know, you're speaking about Good Samaritans, people who have dash cams. I've had this on a number of my cases. They'll tell the law enforcement officers, I captured it on my dash cam. They pull over, wait, give their witness information. And that's very helpful because, you know, once you have the camera, very often the footage, you have an objective view of what happened, and then you take away people's personal recollection issues, yep, which sometimes may not be the most reliable.
Right.
Esteban told us last week, he was on the show last week, I don't know if you know that, he told us that the police report cannot be used in the court. In other words, you tell the police officer what happened, he can't take that information, go into court and use that against you. But the witness can. And if you have a dash cam, that would be a good thing to have.
Absolutely. That is very true. The police report in and of itself is inadmissible. It's statutes that deal with what their use is for, and for evidence purposes, they're not to be used. However, there's a lot of useful information in those police reports that help everybody investigate the claims, the attorneys, the insurance companies, and so forth. But yes, absolutely. Witness information, photographs that witnesses have taken. Also, very often, you know, we were talking about the video. Because of today's technology, very often you have businesses that are adjacent to where crashes occur, people's residents. We've been able to capture video from gas stations and business and all sorts of different things, which is very helpful.
So it's a good thing to be aware of all that, because that could help you later on. And of course, you can take all the pictures you want with your cell phone, pictures of the car, pictures of the person's driver's license, whatever they allow you to take. It's all got to work.
Well, if I may, sorry to interrupt, mm-hmm, but that's what, you know, I touched upon our app earlier. In our app, we actually have a function where you can take pictures and store the pictures for later use. So that's important. That, you know, pictures speak 1,000 words. You know, things such as debris fields are important. So very often it's a question, where did the crash actually take place? Well, if you have the debris field, broken glass, fluids from the engines, you are able to capture it on the roadway. Skid marks.
Oh, yeah. How,
all those things are very helpful. However, like you said, you're driving down the road. You're not saying, okay, I'm going to get in a crash in 30 seconds. And then as soon as I get done with the crash and spinning around or whatever it may be, let me make sure I get out of my car and photograph everything. Nobody's thinking that.
That's the advantage of having the Robes Law Group app on your smartphone. And we haven't said that yet, but I can tell you this. You want that app? You text the word Robes. That's R-O-B-E-S. 2474747, and the app will download right to your smartphone. Then when you're at the scene of an accident, you just take out your cell phone, press the button for the Robes Law Group, and that app comes up and it gives you all sorts of advice. Matter of fact, there's a big white button right in the middle of the screen. You press that button and you'll probably get a phone call from Esteban within 10 or 15 minutes. Even if it's 3 a.m, he told me once.
we're pretty responsive. We're 24/7. That's just the way that it has to be, because this is South Florida. People are driving all the time, everywhere, and people need help immediately. So we do everything we can to be there when they need us.
Yep. Phone lines are open, folks, 561-570-5700. If you have a personal injury question that you would like to ask Attorney Tom A. Robes, he's right here. Hey, Tom, what type of injuries are there? I mean, I know there's bodily injury, there's all sorts of injuries, but do you have a category?
There's a number of different types of injuries, and, you know, there's obviously your bodily injuries, which, you know, very often people kind of equate to musculoskeletal injuries, which is, you know, a broken arm, things of that nature. You also have soft tissue injuries, which deal with injuries, you know, such as disc injuries, ligament injuries, tendon injuries, muscle injuries, and so forth. But there's also other types of damages, which, you know, sometimes aren't properly documented, in my opinion, and sometimes are downplayed by certain insurance carriers. And those are what we like to call non-economic damages. You know, there's loss of enjoyment of life, there's pain, there's frustration, you know, those sorts of things that go into not only the physical pain that people are suffering, or maybe they actually have an injury that's so severe that they actually have a limitation. They can't move their shoulder the way that they used to. But what, let's say, for example, it's a shoulder injury and it's a new mother or father for that matter, and now they can't carry their newborn child the way that they want to, or they can carry their child but in pain. That may not be an a physical injury, but that is an emotional and potentially mental injury. And that doesn't even go into lost wages, wage impairment, and things of that nature.
Sounds too complicated for me. I think I just read a call, you guys, let you handle it.
Well, everybody stays in their lanes. You know, I talk to other professionals and I say, wow, what you do is really hard. And they're like, wow, what you do is really hard. And I say, well, let's just agree that for the outside world, everything that we do is really hard.
Yeah. How about dog bites? Is that part of a personal injury deal there?
Yeah, very often, in South Florida, we have people love their dogs. And especially because of our the way our society is going and also our weather, dogs are everywhere. Yep. And so there's been a little bit of a blowback, as you see now, like with the supermarkets and things of that nature. They're starting to, have restrictions on what type of animals can come in. But that's another topic. Yeah. But dog bites are. And, very often it's, you have the dog bites, you have these scarring issues and things of that nature. But also, there's possible risk of infections and you always have to make sure that the dog has its shots. And so there's a whole synergy that happens with these types of cases very often with animal control to make sure that, for your client, what's going on with this dog's medical history? Has it had its shots? Because it's important. If not, are they properly quarantining the dog? So forth and so on. Again, it's a niche area that there are some unique things that go along with dog bite cases.
Well, I guess we always talk about PIP and all that stuff. That's all related to the automobiles. But what about a dog bite? I mean, they take a big chunk out of your hand or something like that. You may be out of work if you can't use that. So now you got workman's comp or whose insurance pays for that?
Well, again, it's a factually dependent scenario. Like, for example, very often what we typically see, it's in a domestic type situation. And so what you would look at is, okay, health insurance for the claimant or the victim. Then you also look at, do they have disability? Do they have those types of insurance to help them? But from a liability purpose, typically there's homeowner policies. People do, in fact, have unique dog bite policies that deal with, they do. They have those.
Wow.
because it's a, little known fact that most homeowners policies or a great number of homeowners policies, to be more specific, have dog bite exclusions. So most people don't know that dog bites aren't covered by homeowners policies or renter policies. And so then also sometimes the homeowners policies have what's called a med pay provision where it's basically irrespective of fault. There's an injury, you get a payment. But those are typically smaller, $1,000, $3,000, $5,000,
and so forth. I was going to say, how would you collect on something like that? Is there you don't have insurance you can go to? How do you collect?
Well, in that situation, that's an unfortunate situation for the victim because – at that point, either they have to pay cash or they have to find a doctor that will treat them and then with the hopes of getting paid at the conclusion of the case. And, that goes back around to some of those non-economic damages we were talking about, pain and suffering, frustration.
Right.
But not knowing how to pay your medical bills when you got injured through no fault of your own is a stressor because you're incurring a debt and you're injured.
Exactly. Well, how does the injured get paid? I mean, how do they pay the attorney? I mean, you have to get paid too, right?
Well, I tell my clients, I'm like, listen, at the end of the day, we do what we need to do to make sure that the situation works out. And we work on what's called typically on a contingency basis, that we get a percentage of what we collect. So, and that's standard in this type of attorney-client relationship. So, at least one of the things that the victim, the claimant doesn't have to worry about is not only do I have to possibly come out of pocket for medical bills, and I'm going to miss time from work, how am I going to pay this attorney?
Exactly.
Fortunately, we're able to work on a contingency basis and help people without further throwing them in the hole, so to speak.
Maybe you could get part of the dog. I don't know.
Well, some of the dogs I've seen in the dog bites are quite beautiful animals. Some of them I'd pass.
Well, I can give you some advice. Personally, if you get a Morkie, they don't bite. You ever heard of that?
I have not heard of a Morkie. Which one are those?
It's a cross between a Maltese and a
Yorkie.
And they don't bite.
Really?
They bark, but they don't bite.
They chew on your hand sometimes.
Yeah, but they don't bite hard. Anyway, so don't worry about getting a lawsuit with a Morkie. You're safe to go there.
There you go.
All right, how's the medical treatment paid for in a personal injury claim? I mean, where does that come from?
Well, it's fact-dependent depending on the type of claim. Let's say, for example, if someone's injured while they're in the course and scope of their employment, that could be a workers' comp claim that's paid for through workers' comp if it's applicable. If it's a slip and fall, trip and fall, it could be a med pay. It could be under their health insurance. for their medical bills. Auto is a little bit more complicated because you have personal injury protection benefits. Then health insurance can come into play. And then when there's scenarios where there is not enough insurance or there is no insurance, then there's sometimes, you know, clients have to pay cash or something of that nature. And at the end, they get reimbursed at the end of the case. Or depending on the case, sometimes the third-party medical payors like health insurance, they get reimbursed at the end of the case.
It's complicated, like you said.
Oof. It's complicated. And what some people don't know is that in certain counties, certain medical providers like hospitals are able to actually lien you. If you go into the emergency room or something of that nature, you incur bills, you walk out of there owing money, and you have a lien.
Lien, oh.
Lien, right.
They can't put a lien against your house, can they? It's just you personally?
In Broward, they can, my understanding, my recollection is that it's a lien on everything.
Ooh. Hey, we got to get hit to a break here, but just before we do, I have a great question for you.
Sure.
Are the proceeds from awards coming from the attorney, is that taxable?
Okay, that's a great question, and I'm going to give the typical lawyer answer. It depends.
It depends.
Okay, it depends. You know, typically, personal injury settlement proceeds are not taxable, but there are exceptions to that. If, for example, if you actually have a verdict and there's an award, part of it is for income, lost income, wage impairment, that could be taxable. And also, a little known fact out there is that very often in settlements you hear, especially in the news, oh, the cases were resolved to the satisfaction of the party and it's a confidential resolution. Well, part that confidentiality has to be determined in the settlement because that's taxable. But I understand we're going to have a very very intelligent, learned tax lawyer that's going to be speaking in the next little bit.
I think an astute.
So we got to put her on the hot seat and ask her those tax questions.
That's a good idea. We'll do that. All right, listen, folks, after the break, Thomas A. Robes will still be with us. If you have a personal injury question, he has an answer for you. Phone lines are open, 561-570-5700. Don't go back. We'll be right away.
If you could prepare for an accident, it wouldn't be called an accident, would it? According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, more than 6 million traffic accidents occur every year. Cars, trucks, or motorcycles, it happens. The real question is, if it happens to you, what will you do? Statistics show the sooner you have legal representation, the better the outcome of your case. Wouldn't it be great if your lawyer was right there with you to guide you through this confusing moment? What you say or don't say at the scene of an accident matters. That's why the Robes Law Group developed a smartphone application. You can download the Robes Law Group app from the App Store or simply text the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES, text to 474747. Or call the Robes Law Group today at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or check out their website at robeslawgroup.com.
All right, coming up on the second half of the show, Thomas A. Robes is still with us. Have a personal injury question? This is your chance to ask the expert. We are live and the phone lines are open, 561-570-5700. Then our show producer will tell us how ghost tax preparers scam you during tax season. That's coming right up. Wait until you hear this one. Hammer the Scammer segment is coming right up. But right now, it's time for all the news that maybe shouldn't be news, brought to you by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach. Download their smartphone app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. Rick Snyder, our show producer, has a busted briefcase full of funny stuff. What's going on in the world of lawlessness?
Well, they found their boa friend in the couch. Emergency responders called to a Kansas home where a surprised resident discovered a 6-foot snake hiding inside their couch.
Ugh.
The firefighters responded to assist the police department with an unusual call. This resident reported finding the large boa constrictor hiding inside the couch. They canvassed the neighborhood. No one admitted to missing a snake. The pet's owner will come forward, they're hoping.
I get it now. It's a boa friend.
Oh, yes. That's right. Now, if you experience flat tires in Sherburne County, Minnesota, here's why. Jeffrey Cowett of Elk River admitted that he had purchased 55 pounds of sheetrock screws. That's 12,000 sheetrock screws.
Yeah.
Scattered them on local roads to slow down a guy he believed was in relationship with his ex-girlfriend. Scattered the screws all over the place. The police received more than 100 reports of damage from the screws, including three police cars. Kawat was charged with first-degree property damage. And
was there a special tax that he had to pay?
No. Oh, my goodness. That's coming up, Al. Yeah. And public officials and attorneys in Kentucky must swear on an oath they have not fought a duel with deadly weapons nor acted as a second in another person's duel. Good to know. Unfortunately, when the oath took effect in 1848, many would-be duelists turned to murderous street brawls instead. And that's a look at the Robes Law news for today.
Is it really? That's all you got?
That's it.
That's all we need.
That's right.
I think that's pretty bizarre, throwing thumbtacks on the road or sheet metal screws to mess up somebody going to visit your girlfriend. I think just a punch in the nose might take care of that problem,
could
right?
Be.
There you go.
Here's our next super guest on Lifestyles and the Law Today, brought to you by Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida.
All right, Thomas A. Robes is still with us. He is the head attorney over at the Robes Law Group, knows everything that there is to need to know about law, I guess. Well, you went to school long enough, right?
Seems like a distant memory at this point, but I was there for a little bit.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, if you've ever watched like a phenomenal piano player play, and you always say, oh, wow, I wish I could play like that. Well, you know what? You can, if you practice 8 hours a day for 10 years. So it's the same thing with your profession. When you see a sharp attorney really handling things, you go, wow, I wish I had that knowledge. Well, yeah, you can have it if you go to college for 10 years. And you're how long have you been in practice now?
We're coming up on 20 years, which, you know, it's interesting when you just said that. I always think of Denzel Washington, the award-winning actor. He, one of his speeches, when they asked him about, you know, how he became so accomplished, he, you know, is something to the effect of that he became an overnight success in 20 years.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so
no, it's called
a lot
practice.
Of hard work. It's a lot of hard work and just constantly showing up to work, doing what's right, always just grinding away. And, you know, but when we do what we do and we get to help out nice people and get results for clients and help them get their lives squared away, you know what? The time goes by just a little bit faster.
Well, 20 years, it must have zipped right on by. You've probably encountered every kind of case there is, right?
I've encountered some interesting cases, that's for sure. My one of my favorite ones was where I had a client where the insurance company was really, really interested to find out about a prior workers' comp claim because they were going to try and devalue or deny the claim based on a prior workers' comp claim. And it was a very significant rear-end motor vehicle crash. And I was really enjoying the defense attorney asking in deposition about this prior incident because the prior workers' comp was a beaver biting my client on the rear end, and she was an animal. She worked at a zoo, and that was the workers' comp claim. So it was that was one that always stands out amongst many other ones. But that one was always funny because I knew where they were going in the question. I was like, this is just going to be priceless. So.
Nothing worse than a beaver bite.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
How are work-related injuries different from personal injuries?
Well, you know, workers' compensation claims and personal injury claims sometimes bleed over on one another. And I know we had a workers' comp attorney here a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Very, very learned. Sometimes there is you can have a workers' compensation claim and a personal injury claim at the same time. For example, if you are in the course and scope of your employment as a delivery truck driver, let's say, and you're stopped at a stoplight, you get rear-ended and you're injured, you could have a workers' comp claim and a third-party personal injury claim for the person who hit you.
Oh, wow.
However, that same type of scenario where the driver is at fault for the crash, let's say they misjudge and make a wide turn and, you know, go off the roadway and hit a tree or something. In that scenario, if they're injured, they would have a workers' comp claim, but they wouldn't have a personal injury claim.
Ah, okay.
And then there's also there's an immunity when you're dealing with injuries at work as far as what claims you could bring in the negligence against your employers. And it's a very high standard to get around that immunities, but there are differences.
A lot of rules, sounds like to me. Rules. And that's why you have to go to school to learn all the darn rules. And that's what you've done.
Well, yeah, there are lots of rules. And, you know, we're in session right now, so there's going to be more rules coming down probably. You know, I had a law professor who had a theory that for every law they passed, they got to take one off the books. You know, keep the rule book, you know, thin.
Yeah, a little thinner. Exactly.
They didn't do that.
Of course not. They usually pile it on. What kind of insurance would cover someone hit by a car while riding a bike? So now you got a bike and a car, different scenario there.
Yeah, you got a number of different policies of insurance that you would be able to make claims against. What I tell my clients is that think about a personal injury claim is like each, it's like a bundle of sticks. Each claim is a stick in that bundle. You have multiple claims. So if you're dealing with a bicycle auto crash, first off, there's the property damage. Your bike gets damaged. And here in South Florida, there are some very, very expensive bikes. I've learned more about bikes in the last, 20 years than I ever thought I would know just on the property damage claims, realizing how some of these specialty bikes are very, very expensive.
Yeah, you get one of those titanium frames and you're looking at a couple of grand for your bike.
And I've had those and I've been shocked when they bring me the backup for the receipts. I said, really? For a bike? I'm like, oh, my kid never wants one of these things. But anyway, so you have property damage claim. And not only is it just a bicycle, but very often, unfortunately, when you're dealing with personal injury cases, there's equipment. Helmets, if the helmet's compromised, you hit it once, new helmet. Clothing very often gets ripped, gets stained, can't be replaced. In some of the horrible cases, they get transported, the clothes get cut off, clothes are gone.
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of the property damage claim. And then you get into the personal injury claim, which, you would have the liability of insurance of the person who hits you, potentially your uninsured motorist, your health insurance. There's a number of different buckets of insurance, so to speak, that you would be able to make claims against.
Yeah, bucket. See, I told you bucket was a good word.
Yep.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we deal with complicated things, so we have to put it in ways that, everybody's able to understand. And so, I could say, well, you can make a claim against this policy under it. Explain in a way that people can understand. That's what we strive to do at Robes Law Group.
Yep. And that's the most difficult thing because everybody learns differently.
Correct.
We talked a few seconds ago about the difference of private insurance and work insurance and everything. And you brought up the bicycle thing. What if I'm riding a bike on the way to work and I get hit by a car?
Well,
how does that calculate?
Well, that's interesting because there's a body of law for workers' comp. It's called the coming and going rule. And there's exceptions to that. But typically in workers' comp, there, if you're coming to or going from work, that's not a work-related injury. Now, there's obviously exceptions and all that, and that would be a great question for the work comp attorney, which is Jeff Friedman that we had on here. He's a good guy. He's a guru, yeah.
Yep.
And there's a lot of other, fantastic work comp attorneys out there that would be able to answer the questions, be able to talk about the exceptions from the going and coming rule. But typically that would be under a typical auto negligence case where, it would be just as if you're in a car, you're a pedestrian, you're coming to work, you get hit by a car, then it would be typically an auto negligence claim.
So I guess it would be, depending on what you're doing on the bike. I mean, if you're delivering something on a bike or something, but how would that happen on your way to work? Probably not, right?
Well, there's interesting, now with these delivery companies, there's, there are people that are delivering food on bicycles and scooters and all sorts of interesting methods of transportation that I've seen. And so, that brings a whole bunch of interesting questions like, are they an employee? Are they an independent contractor? Are they in the course and scope? I mean, these things very often become fact dependent. And, just like I said before, I'm going to give you the lawyer answer. Well, it depends.
Yeah, I love that. I guess we're not as bad as New York when it comes to bicycles, though, right? Or is South Florida getting a little heavier on the bike delivery stuff? I know New York, everything's delivered on a bike.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of our attorneys in our office is barred in New York, and we do work on cases in New York because, believe it or not, there's a lot of crossover. Well, I shouldn't say believe it or not. People who've been in South Florida for more than a minute realize there's a lot of New Yorkers here in Florida that split time. So, but yes, we've had our fair share of New York bicycle claims, but we've also had our fair share of Florida bicycle claims, and a lot of them that are. Sad is that a lot of them are obstruction cases, meaning that the car couldn't see the bicycles based on obstructions, whether the homeowner let landscaping grow too much or their signage, or there's all sorts of different things that cause the vehicle or the bicycle not to be able to appreciate one another until it's too late.
Or as we learned on last week's, I think it was last week's show, may have been the week before, an AT&T van was parked right in front of a stop sign, couldn't see the stop sign. Guy ran the stop sign that he didn't see.
Of course.
And Matter of fact, I know the guy that took the pictures at the scene. That's where I'm now. It's coming back to me. Yeah, and he said that they called him. They wanted to use the pictures. AT&T wanted to use the pictures in their training films to let their drivers know, don't park in front of a stop sign, idiot. Of course, I don't think they used the word idiot, but
they may have used even more choice language than that, probably behind closed doors.
Well, I think AT&T probably got racked out over $100,000 on that settlement. So.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because that's actually one of the policy things that personal injury cases are here for. It is in a way to help industry and business perfect their products. I mean, that's why you have the product liability area of law, the negligence area of law. These are in a way to help make safer products, make people more attentive, make businesses more attentive for the greater good of the population. That is one of the overall goals of tort litigation and tort claims is to make everything safer.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. So we have a lot of ride sharers today, Uber, Lyft, and all that good stuff. What happens if you're in an Uber car, and not to point to Uber, just a ride share car?
Sure.
And you get smacked right in the side, and you're pretty dang beat up. How does that work? Whose insurance covers what?
Sure. Well, if you're a fare, and we'll use that term, if you're a fare in the ride share, you are, unless there's some sort of comparative liability on your end for not wearing a seatbelt or something of that nature, you're pretty much an innocent victim. And so depending on the facts and circumstances of the crash, you could have a liability claim against a driver of either vehicle, okay, the owner of either vehicle involved in the crash, assuming it's a two-car intersectional crash, a T-bone crash.
Right.
Also, very often these rideshare companies also have uninsured motorist coverage as well. And so you'd also be able to make a claim for uninsured motorist as well, be able to avail yourself to your policy that you may have for your household auto policy for whatever benefits that you contracted with, you know, during that policy period. So many different claims that you are going to be able to make. And then there's obviously the hierarchy of which claim is first in line, which that's very often in these clear liability cases, there's a, for lack of a better term, there's a jockeying of position, and shockingly, nobody wants to be number one.
Of course.
Because they're paying out penny one.
That's who's paying the most.
Yeah, exactly. So very often that's what we're dealing with, not the issue of how the crash occurred, but you know, which policy of insurance is going to be primary, secondary, and so forth.
Yep. I don't see those guys going, we're number one.
No.
We don't want that. How about PIP? Does that come into effect? I know, because we've talked about this on the show, you got 14 days to report an injury or your PIP's gone. That's $10,000 right out the window. But if you're a rider in a car, are you still covered by that PIP?
Yes. Same thing. Your PIP goes with you. If you're driving someone else's car, you're a passenger in someone else's car. Actually, you're pedestrian. I mean, anything that involves a motor vehicle where you're injured and you have a policy of insurance, the first $10,000, you know, subject to the emergent medical condition, subject to the fact that you treat within 14 days, that's the first layer of insurance, will be your personal injury protection benefit. So if you're in the backseat of a rideshare and you get in a crash, your PIP's primary for the first $10,000.
Yeah, there you go. That's covered. Folks, if you have a question, the experts sitting right here, the phone lines are open, 561-570-5700. You may call right now. We'll pick it up and say hello. So, Tom, what exactly will an attorney do for me if you represent me in an auto accident, a pedestrian accident, bicycle injury? I mean, what's the first thing you do?
Well, again, the lawyer question, it depends. No, seriously, really.
I have a mute button here for that.
Yeah, exactly. You could use that as a canned canned sound. Really, it's going to be dependent on the claim, but the goal is to get these people back to where they were before the incident occurred. That's how the system works. Get this person back to where they were the day, the hour, the minute before this incident occurred.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that's not always possible, but the lawyer's job, in my opinion, is to help these people get normalcy back in their life. Help get them healthy, help get their claims resolved, help get them back to work, get them back to being a full functioning member of society as the best as we can. And each case is dependent. Sometimes it's, hey, we really need to help expedite getting this person's car fixed because they use their car for work and they need to get to and from work. Or, you know, this person has an issue with a medical condition, you know, to make sure that they are you know, that they are properly following up with their doctors. Now, at the end of the day, the client, the claimant, they're in charge of their medical care and treatment, and they can choose to do what they want. But, you know, you do want to stress the importance of, we need to do what you need to do to get yourself well, because a little known fact that the insurance companies will use that if you choose not to do something or don't do something on a timely basis, they'll use that against you. And they'll say, you didn't do everything you could to mitigate your damages. The example is, you have a burst pipe in your house. You can't just let the water run for a month and then make a claim, because they're going to say, why don't you shut your water off? Yeah. So same kind of idea with personal injury claims. You got to help make sure that everything is timely processed and get these victims, for lack of a better term, back on their feet and back to where they were right before this incident occurred, if possible.
Exactly. And that's why we say, you know, you have 14 days, but I don't think I would wait for the 14 days, because you never know, especially in the neck. I believe that's probably the most common when you're rear-ended. You get out of the car and you go, yeah, I feel okay. I'm a little beat up, but I'm okay. And then you let that, you procrastinate and let that slide. And guess what? 14 days are gone and you're in trouble. So wouldn't it be best just to go get yourself checked out no matter what?
When my clients ask me some form of that question, what I say to them is, imagine if there wasn't a claim. Would you go to the doctor and go get it checked out? If the answer to that question is yes, then go get checked out. The example I like to use, divorce it from a personal injury claim. Let's just say, for example, you woke up and you weren't feeling well, and maybe you think it's a sinus infection or flu. Are you going to go to your doctor? Are you going to go to your primary? Are you going to go to urgent care? If the answer is yes, then go.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Same kind of thing with the injury. But you touched upon something, that not all the injuries manifest themselves right away. Perfect example of that is, like, you know, I was joking. I said, hey, isn't there a football game this weekend?
Right.
You see that very often in sporting events. A player plays a game, finishes the game, and next thing you know, they're on the injury report. They're like, wait a minute, when did they get injured? They played the whole game and finished it.
Right.
But they were doing it with a limitation. They were doing it in pain. And then when they finally get checked out, they're like, wow, what I thought was maybe just a muscle pull actually ended up being something much more severe.
Right. Yeah. You got to use common sense and don't take any chances. I mean, that's
better safe than sorry.
What are the three goals at the Robes Law Group for every single client? You must have a set of goals that you follow.
Well, absolutely. And this is, you know, when you asked that question before about, you know, what are we going to do for the client when they get involved in an accident? And it's really ensure the client gets as healthy as possible in whichever way is important. We talked about also earlier, getting in the debt hole. Making sure these people don't walk out of this claim owing money to the best of our ability. So health, not owing money, and then let's talk about what we're able to do to compensate you for your injuries, because it's not a lottery system, it's a compensation system. So we want to get you healthy, we want to get you out of owing money to anybody, medicals, body shops, whoever it may be, and then if there are outstanding medical bills, there are the non-economic damages, lost wages, let's get you compensated for that. So as to the best of our ability, as if this event never happened.
Right. Let's get your life back in order.
Correct.
And that's the most important.
Wow, absolutely. Wow.
Tom, you are a wealth of information. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Hey, hang out, because we have a couple of calls here coming in at the end we'd like to get your input on.
Sure.
And we'll be right back in just a moment. Okay.
When you hear that sound, something bad is about to happen.
Good afternoon. This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
And that's the sound of confidence. Confidence in knowing you have selected the right team to represent you in your hour of need. The Department of Transportation tells us more than 5 million crashes occur every year. That's more than 13,600 accidents every single day, every day. So be aware of. And remember, when you need legal representation, call the good folks at Robes Law Group at 561-570-5700. That's 561-570-5700. Or better yet, download the Robes Law Group app by texting the word ROBES to 474747. That's ROBES to 474747.
This is Christina at the Robes Law Group. How can I help you?
That's great.
We love Christina at the Robes Law Group. She's great. Welcome back to Lifestyles and the Law Today. I'm still Alan Mason, your host and non-legal orator, along with our show producer, Rick Snyder, with a message for those afflicted with adoxophobia. If you have a fear of opinions, there's no cure, but there is a solution. Grab your smartphone if you're not driving. Text the word ROBES, that's ROBES, to 474747, and download the Robes Law Group app and open it. Nowhere on the screen will you see a single opinion. That's because the Robes Law Group deals in case law, and your non-opinionator safe space will give you peace of mind knowing that legal representation is in the palm of your hand. Just a friendly reminder, when you hire Robes from the app, you will receive a $1,000 fee credit when your case is settled. That's 1,000 smackers just from hiring Robes from the app. I don't know of too many apps that do that for you. Remember, text ROBES to 474747. Got it? Get it? Problem solved. And now, just as the National Association of Scammer Lords predicted, it's time to hammer the scammer. This week's report is brought to you by the Robes Law Group. They fight hard for their clients because it's the right thing to do. Our show producer, Rick Snyder, is here with some info on being scammed by a ghost taxed tipster. What's that all about, Rick?
Well, they're out there, as always, a ghost tax return, a ghost tax return preparer. Be careful. If you don't know the person preparing your taxes, watch for things like this. They're not going to sign your return. The preparer is supposed to sign your return.
Right.
An e-return supposed to be signed by the preparer. They may ask to be paid in cash. They don't offer you a receipt. They might cook the books a little, coming up with some unusual income so the client qualifies for a tax credit, or to pump up the amount of the refund. They direct the tax refund, get this one, to their own checking account. So when you have your return prepared by somebody, make sure when they put in a checking account number, it's yours, not theirs. Be very careful.
So they put their checking account number on
your return so that the refund goes to them.
You know, Rick, years ago, there used to be a little scam. They don't do this anymore. But years ago, you could go into the bank and go to where they have all the deposit tickets and take out a ticket and take six or seven of them, put your account number on, and then put them back in the stack. Nice. And then the people come in and grab the deposit slip. You got to watch, folks. You got to take a look. Make sure you're signing the right stuff.
Those ghost tax return preparers are out there. Be careful. Watch your step. And we have on the phone a real big-time tax preparer. Alan,
No way.
Yeah. Anna Mitchell's on the phone.
Anna Mitchell.
Hi.
Hey, you're there.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, listen, you were fantastic on the show the last time. We received a lot of calls wanting to know who the heck you were. How you doing?
Good. You know, we're busy with tax time. Lots of people that have already started to have issues with their returns. A lot of people that went to, you know, unscrupulous tax preparers that have since already been caught on the IRS radar. Once the IRS catches the return preparer, a majority of the return preparer's clients get audited as well.
It's
a big time to make sure that you are staying on top of your return.
Well, this is the season for tax. To any advice, what should we do to get prepared? Call you, I guess, right?
We still have to pay tax, right, Anna?
Yeah, a lot of people do have to pay tax at tax time. There is a large segment of the population, though, that really counts on tax time as a time for tax refunds. And what really bolsters those refunds are the refundable credits, like the earned income tax credit, additional child tax credit. So it's important, you know, that you know how to read your return to make sure that your return preparer, perhaps if you're like a W-2 worker, a wage earner, sometimes bad tax preparers will create a business that has a loss to offset your W-2 income to get you a refund. Those are things you want to look out for.
Also, you want to make sure that everything's filled out properly. How do you do that? How do you know if like we talked about the scammer who's scamming you, what do you just reach across, grab the paper? Let me take a look at those, buddy, and see if that he's filled it out right. Where do you look? What do you look for?
You know, the IRS has a lot of videos online about what to look for on your return, and it's important to be informed. You know, I know a lot of us go to tax preparers or CPAs because we have some complicated matters that need to be reported. But overall, you know, if there's an issue with your return, it's your responsibility to make sure that it's correct. The IRS, while they may start an investigation against the tax preparer, they're going to look at you for, you know, the audit and to repay any deductions that shouldn't have been taken. So it's really important to be informed, at least learn how to read a return. Okay, maybe you can't create the return yourself, you're paying a professional, but at least be able to understand what the return says. It's really important.
Wow. You know, that's kind of strange, because my tax accountant tells me, don't worry about a thing. If you get audited, they're going to come to me. Well, apparently not.
No, that's still, maybe if there's a return preparer investigation, they'll look at the return preparer. But ultimately, if you as the taxpayer received a refund that you are not entitled to, or otherwise were able to reduce your taxable income in a way that was not accurate, then the IRS looks to you to correct the return, to repay the correct tax amount. They look at you to pay the penalties and interest associated with those penalties. Now, sometimes, though, I'll get a lot of phone calls. You know, people understand, okay, the return was not correct, it wasn't my fault, but regardless, you know, I can't afford to pay the IRS back, and we do a lot of debt settlement negotiations. So if that's a situation that, you know, one of the listeners are in, I recommend they give me a call.
All right. Well, I think you're going to be on our show next week, right?
Right. So, I look forward to it.
Fantastic. Be looking forward to seeing you there. That's next week's, folks. Anna Marie Mitchell, a famous tax attorney, will be on the phone. So coming up on last week's show, if you remember, our producer booked the invisible man. He had a cold, so he couldn't speak. We basically don't know if he even showed up or not. But next week, we're going to have Anna Marie Mitchell, as you just heard. We'd like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. Your company is appreciated. Tune into Lifestyles and the Law today, every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on West Palm Beach flagship station, WJNO AM 1290. Feel free to tell your great-hearted friends about the show. Any friend of yours is a friend of ours. And that's all the time we have left today. We hope our mission was not impossible and the legal knowledge ebbs and flows throughout the applicable media outlets. The show is underwritten by the Robes Law Group of Delray Beach, Florida, and originates from the iHeart Studio in West Palm Beach. Executive producer John Mitchell, show producer Rick Snyder, audio engineer John Nutter, and I am your host, Alan Mason. We will sneeze you next week. Thanks a lot for listening in, folks.